Friday fun.
I was reading it. It's easier.
You're a good reader.
Nah.
So, look, we talked about this when Craig was on the show with us, that Larry King, for me, I always thought of Larry King as a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was just this old dude who didn't really seem to have his act together when I discovered him in the late 80s. Everybody was making fun of him. He was married 10 times. He just seemed like a really easy mark, especially for, like, young Corby.
Yeah. That guy. What? An idiot. He's so weird looking.
Yes.
And then I started listening to Howard Stern mm-hmm. about that time, my radio idol.
Right.
And Stern was always at war with Larry King.
Dude.
Like, and I think every radio, like, big-time radio personality at the time had a beef with Larry King.
Was it those guys that were just lobbing grenades to the ones that came before them? Like when the ticket was, you know, throwing grenades at Mike Fisher?
Maybe so.
Picking a fight for no reason.
I don't know what it was.
Probably. It was the equivalent of Russ Martin going through Mike Reiner's trash can.
Because it's there.
Yeah.
Probably.
It may have been, but I was always on the side of, yeah.
Screw you, Larry King. You suck.
So old.
Well, and it usually went to, you're going to take calls from anybody? Okay. We're going to call.
This could be a segment of its own, because if you base your entire show around calls from all over the United States.
Yes.
You're setting yourself up
for fun,
for gold,
for an absolute disaster on a weekly basis or a daily basis. And that's all he did. I mean, I'm not minimizing his
Roanoke, Virginia. Hello.
I'm not minimizing his impact on the world of radio, because I trust Craig implicitly in this matter.
And we behaved through the eulogy. So this is another segment.
We did.
This is independent of that segment.
Right.
He was great. We all know it.
Yep.
But to open the phones up, especially as the country became more and more cynical and weren't willing to just play whatever game you were playing, which is take serious calls, and
right.
Then you had the likes of Howard Stern and Don Imus and Mike and Don, or whatever it was.
Don and Mike, yes.
Yeah. then you are, and it continued on in his TV. He took calls on the TV show.
Yes.
And
which was always awesome.
Yeah, and so it got really bad, I think, the last 10 years, where he was just hounded by the Stern people.
Yes.
By everybody. Everybody was trying to do bits.
Yeah, and you know what? There are two types of personalities that take calls on live television. Those who quickly move on to the next one and don't recognize them. But Larry would
try to engage a little.
He would try to win. He would try to say, oh, it looks like the Looney Barn just let somebody else out. Or he would not just move on to the next call. He had to high ground the caller that this is not how this should be done.
He always had something,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So here is an example of Captain Jenks was really big time on Howard Stern at the time. He had a million prank calls to Larry. I mean, like, there are so many of them, it's ridiculous. This is not one of them, but he was like the main culprit. This is just when Colin Powell was on.
On the TV show?
Yeah, on the TV show. Okay. Colin Powell's on. And he's taking calls.
Yeah.
And Colin's probably pimping his book out.
Right.
And here we go.
We're back with General Colin Powell. We go to Alosha, Manitoba. Hello.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Fine.
Colin Powell, I'm an ex-naval officer, retired naval officer. May I exchange a quick salute with you, sir? Thank you very much.
Commie's staring at the TV, and Colin Powell gives him the salute. You lure him into the sense of confidence.
This guy's voice sounds like everybody that votes on the emergency break. You'd know immediately.
I was saluting as well. I would like to ask you, I read in Time magazine this week, there was some criticism of some of your military decisions in the past. In particular, they mentioned your planned invasion of Robin Quiver's crotch.
I'm sorry. Sick call. You see what I mean? There are ill people out there. By the way,
now Colin Powell's laughing.
Robin Quiver's
ill-timed
crotch.
Invasion of Robin Quiver's crotch.
And all they want to do is get Howard to replay it.
Oh,
the next
day. And they're just laughing like hyenas on the Stern Show the next day.
Of course.
So Larry's dealing with this on a nightly basis.
Yes.
And from what I've gathered, too, like his producers at the TV show come out and they're like, it was the most impossible task
to screen
these callers because they all had it down to a science. They knew exactly what to, where they were very engaged. Like this guy.
Put the hook in the water. You set the hook. Slowly. Don't let the fish get away.
There's just such an air of smartassery in that guy's voice from the beginning.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe it's because we know it's coming.
So I know you're going to play one, too, the best version of this. But the smaller version of this, and he had to deal with this all the time, was Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Who were in, were they in L.A. or
Well,
Florida?
No, they were in Washington, D.C., and they worked in the same building and maybe even the same radio company like us and BAP or something like that. So,
okay.
So they would share a building, and they had a relationship for a while, and then there was a massive falling out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was one thing that these people were going after, all right, that they wanted to get onto the Larry King show. Bob will play the best part of it, but this is just a teaser of where they were always going with Larry King.
Yeah.
I think the Petersons have money.
They do?
They do. The father is in business. They employ a lot of people. They live in Rancho Santa Fe. They have money. Esparto, California. Hello.
Larry King, my question is for Joe Allen. Joe Allen, from where you're sitting now, does it look like Larry paints his bald spot that Don and Mike show?
What?
What?
A very intelligent question, sir. I know Don and Mike, and of course, one of them fell out of the crib as a child, as I remember when they were in Washington. I think the other one pushed him. I think they know each other since childhood, but I have no idea what he's talking about. But a very good question, sir. It shows that you're really keen on things, and I'm glad you waited an hour to ask it. I have no idea.
Yes.
So they were all about painting his bald spot.
Yes. Now, that, of course, goes back to the infomercial that all of us bald guys know so well, that there was a time where there was a product that led you to believe that with this can of spray paint, basically, you could assimilate hair again.
Right.
And it was so far-fetched that even 30 years ago, we knew that's a ridiculous claim that can't be.
But I'm buying it anyway.
But, yes, they got into a tie. One of their feuds with Larry King was based on the premise that they think he's faking his hair by potentially painting his bald spot. And, yes, that led to this amazing... By the way, shout out to YouTube again for having so much of this audio here for us. In the event Larry would pass and we would give him a double eulogy with prank calls, the paint your bald spot famous one actually is still there. So here it is.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
You paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. You paint your bald spot.
Paint your bald spot?
You're sick.
Won't let it go.
You're sick.
I don't know if he's sick, but persistent.
Let me ask you something.
Hope you had fun.
Paint your bald spot.
6 hours.
My favorite part about this is, I think, right here.
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
What do you care?
What do you care?
I just like how the guy just... He just goes, paint your bald spot.
Paint your bald spot.
Paint your bald spot.
So there's a couple of famous calls, because you have to understand Larry would be up all night taking calls. I believe Open Phone America...
All night.
Would not start till 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So this dude is doing TV around dinner time. Then he's going over and doing guest-driven radio. And then for some reason, the end of his show, well, obviously, the obvious reason is you can't book guests at 3 a.m., so you got to figure out a different way to fill your show. And it was, we're going to literally throw it open for the 50 states and all of the intelligence that 3 a.m. can offer society is on full display. Well, this led to a couple famous moments where the belief is Larry King fell asleep on a caller.
Which I cannot believe this didn't happen more often. In the middle of the night.
Yeah, I mean, he's working his tail off. He's in his 60s or 70s at times. You know, I mean, look, he was in this game a long time. And you're supposed to sleep at 4 in the morning. So give the guy a break. But this particular piece of audio is not believed to be a prank. It's believed to be Larry either drunk or asleep and then trying to fake his way through the rest of the call. The caller is clearly talking about journalism. And when Larry comes to, he thinks the kid is trying to be like a surgeon or medical school or something. So listen to this famous piece of audio that, once again, thank you to the internet for still having this somewhere. Here it is.
I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? Like, a lot of professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
It's way up there. Anything else? Anything you do?
Pressure under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm. Like, the guy clearly said print journalism and journalism school multiple times. Now Larry is helping him with advice for how to perform a surgery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, right, even those of us who have shown an aptitude to fight the good fight and stay the good long battle, even those of us can get tired. And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights. I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do. We're pros. We're never rude. We don't camp out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month, and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses?
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
The club?
Don't worry about the club.
Did you hear the guy?
Oh, yeah, he's staying with him.
The guy's like, the club?
The club. He's trying to follow along.
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
The club.
I don't want to let the club worry about maybe Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along. Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the Mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Washington, Virginia, Washington, D.C. Mutual newsroom will get us up to date on the news headlines, and we'll come back with a little more Open Phone America. We'll have our salute to my man, Duke Zebert, by taking him to one of his favorite places, one of mine, too, the town of Cooperstown, New York. This is the Larry King Show in Washington, and we'll be right back.
Wow. He was in that dream state.
Dude, he was seriously hallucinating.
Yeah.
Now, he says he's never been drunk in his life, and so we assume he wasn't impaired there.
It didn't sound like he was impaired. It sounded like he was exhausted.
There's a lot of slurring going on,
though,
right?
Don't worry about the club.
Club?
Man.
The guy's like, the club?
Larry, I'm asking you about journalism.
Journalism school, no, Larry. I'm not going to perform a surgery.
Looking for the ranch house in the night if you're parched. And the guy's like,
Fire.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
I'm a student of journalism at a college. And
I mean, we're both lost here.
Yeah, and you're exhausted.
He sounds like he fell asleep and was kind of like, didn't realize that he was asleep. Or he did that in-between state where you can have a conversation, but you're just speaking gibberish.
Yeah, if you don't mind hearing the first couple seconds, the caller waits for Larry here at the very start of the call.
I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? Like, professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
It's way up there?
Like, that's where he woke up.
Anything else? Anything you can do?
Pressure under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
God.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Yep, so there it is.
R.I.P. Larry King. All right, let's see if we can get some more people up there with Larry as we speed round our way through the deads.